MSO News, giving voice to the North Shore. This is North Shore Today for Monday, February 26, 2024. Brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Moynihan Lumber, supporting local news coverage in communities on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Today we'll be looking at stories about a public hearing tonight in Beverly on the skyrocketing costs for library repairs, Peabody's mayor is getting a raise, and coastal resiliency in Marblehead being discussed.
I'm Bill Newell, and later in sports, we'll look at some high school basketball coming up this week. Rick?
All right, thanks, Bill. Great to be back. Some sun, upper 40s, high tide, Gloucester Harbor, 12:26 p.m. The Beverly City Council will be holding a public hearing tonight on a plan to borrow $14.4 million to pay for a new heating and cooling system, as well as other improvements at the Beverly Public Library. Paul Layton is reporting in today's Salem News that a project that was approved for $3.7 million 2 years ago is now costing the city five times that amount, as it's forecast to cost $18 million. The Beverly City Council meets tonight at 7 p.m., with the public hearing to be held at 7:45. The Peabody City Council has approved a 3% pay hike for Mayor Ted Betancourt. Salem News writer Caroline Enos reports today that his salary bumps up from $135,000 a year to $139,000 annually. Gloucester Mayor Greg Verga is looking to eliminate two committees and a commission while expanding membership on the Open Space and Recreation Advisory Committee. Ethan Foreman writes in today's Gloucester Times that the plan will go before the City Council tomorrow night. The mayor believes that the plan is a good first step for the city to someday reestablish a Parks and Recreation Department. The Newburyport City Council is expected to vote tonight on whether to send a pair of statements of interest to the state for help with a potential $6 million roof repair project for the high school and middle school. Jim Sullivan writes in the Daily News that the school committee has already sent statements of interest to the Massachusetts School Building Authority. And local and state leaders gathered in Marblehead Friday to discuss the region's coastal resiliency. Benjamin Pierce writes in the Daily Item that Melissa Hoffer, the state's first climate chief, joined a discussion on formulating a more consistent and unified coastal resiliency effort for different communities. Sports next with Bill Newell.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Yes, we are a full-service lumber yard, but we also offer doors and windows and kitchen cabinets. Please visit us in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are two or three and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the Exobath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO Sports bringing voice to the North Shore. The Celtics were off yesterday. They'll return to action tomorrow night at the Garden when they play host to Philadelphia. The Bruins were also off last night. They play the Kraken in Seattle tonight. Puck drop at 10 o'clock Eastern Time. The MIAA hockey and basketball tournaments open up this week. We have several posts up with North Shore hockey coaches previewing their games this week. In basketball, in boys D1 action, 6-14 St. John's Prep is seeded number 23 and will host Boston Latin tonight at 6. Lynn English, 16-5 on the season, seeded number 25, will host Marshfield tomorrow night at 7. And then there is number 28 seeded Peabody, 18-2 on the season. They'll host Belmont tomorrow night at 6. 41 seeded Beverly, 10-10 on the season. They'll play on the road tomorrow night at Durfee at 7:30. Beverly coach Matt Karakoudis has led one of the North Shore's top hoop programs the last 9 years, but this year they just got into the tournament by winning their last game of the season for their 10th win. That was Wednesday night against Tewksbury. There is only one team lower seeded in the D1 tournament than Beverly. Beverly coach Matt Karakoudis earlier in the week going after that 10th tournament win.
That game means everything, you know, and honestly, this team wouldn't be this team if we didn't wait till the last game to try to get it done. So it'll be exciting. It's not the excitement I want as a coach, but it'll be an exciting game for the fans and for the team for sure, so we better show up.
Beverly boys basketball coach Matt Karakoudis. Oh, here's a sign of spring. College baseball today finds Gordon playing at Salem State. First pitch this afternoon at 3. That's sports along with Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. Thanks so much for joining us here on North Shore Today.
Taparo Capital Management. It's time to craft your retirement plan. Click on the Taparo banner at the top right of our website and begin creating your winning game plan.
If you're a soap bar user and you're always annoyed by the fact that when you use your entire bar, you're stuck with this little sliver of soap that you don't know what to do with, hold on, because I think I have the solution for you. It's always a pain to have that little sliver of soap that we didn't really know how to use but didn't want to waste and throw away. So we invented this cute cube-shaped soap bar that then you can place your old little soap sliver right into. There's a carved out X in the center of the bar that then you can place your old soap sliver into. You just break up that little sliver into pieces that are 2 or 3 and it fits right inside. And bam, now you've got a brand new soap bar and you didn't have to waste anything. If that's something you're interested in and you want to support a sustainable small business, then head on over to our shop at exobath.com. You can buy one for yourself or give it as a gift. It ships anywhere in the United States and you can get 20% off your first order.
Click on to the ExoBath banner at the top of our website.
This is MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore, and we're finally talking now with Kyle Caudette. He's the sports editor of the Newburyport Daily News. And Kyle, welcome back. It's been too long, man. How you doing?
Yeah, no, appreciate it. Thanks for having me again. Good to talk to you.
Well, you know, if we have to wait this long, at least it's coming before the tournament, and we can pick your brain on thoughts of all things relating your coverage. But I want to ask you, first of all, I know it was a busy weekend for wrestling and some of the other sports this weekend. What comes to my eye, of course, being a former Gloucester High student, teacher, is that one of the students, athletes, the Toppin kid, Billy Toppin, I think it is, won the state championship in wrestling. So tell me a little bit about the coverage that we're going to get from you on Monday morning.
Yeah, I don't know. Are these, because there's two Toppins. I know there's a kid, and they have a kid in 215 and a kid in 190. I think the 190 won one. I don't think the 215 did, but they're really good. I don't know if they're twins or if one's
they're brothers. Yep.
Older.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, as far as my teams go, yeah, I had a couple kids qualify for New England. I got Doug Alward at 215, and I had a girl, you know, Riley Ann Tarmy. She's finished third at 100, and she's both going to New England next week, which I know is at the start of the year, you know, is a huge goal for every sort of wrestler in the state. So I got a pretty good, was able to shoot down there yesterday, catch the last couple matches, got some good stuff from them. So have a story on that tomorrow, and then All-State track, or is it All-State, or they call it Meet of Champions, whatever they call it now. I had some decent performances there yesterday, so it'll be encompass a lot of tomorrow sections, plus obviously the pairings that came out over the weekend for hoop and hockey.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to get to that because your coverage, I mean, you're everywhere all the time. You must have to clone yourself to do what you do, and we certainly appreciate it. Oh, my God. I want to start with the Amesbury hockey team because what my plan is to ask you about, you know, the qualifying teams in your coverage area and what your thoughts are. But you did an article on Friday that I'm going to link to about the Amesbury hockey team. Tell me a little bit about their success lately.
Yeah, I mean they're killing it. I got a couple between them and Newburyport. Really, have both won a lot of games. But Amesbury specifically, yeah, I think they've won 10 of 11 heading into the tournament. So they're rolling right now. I think they're seated 24th. So they had to go down to I believe it's Auburn on Wednesday. So. But they're a team, you know, experienced. They were similarly ranked. They're actually down in D4 last year. They were seeded, whatever, 15-16, won a couple games, made a surprise run to the quarterfinals before they had to go down to Nantucket and experience that whole travel fiasco. So
Yes.
They're back this year, up a couple divisions in D2. I mean, they're top line. I mean, they got a kid. I mean, Bodie Marcotte. Matt Venturi and Joey Duggan. I mean, those three are the real deal. You know, I do you know, sort of my own little hockey stat leaders in the area, and they're my, you know, top three scorers, you know, so it sort of shows what they do for that team. But I mean, they got a second line that's starting to score as well, and a third line who's seeing some good playing time, and then a freshman in net, Colin Dyer, who's they were ping ponging back and forth. They had a few guys they were sending out there at the beginning of the year, but this Dyer kid is really sort of taking the reins, and then has been the guy for the past, you know, couple months. So yeah, they're a good team. You know, I don't know, what D2 is probably a little better competition than D4, so I don't know if that same magical run is going to happen. But I mean, they got a lot of good players, and they're well coached, and they're going to be a tough out.
You know, that's a good point about stepping up from D4, and I just wonder. I haven't talked with Coach Costa yet prior to the tournament. Talked to him a couple of weeks ago, but I'm just wondering if the strength of schedule, the kids sort of had to step up to the speed a little bit, get used to the speed of some of their opponents as contrasted to what they had in D4. And now that they've gotten their feet wet, they seem to be really accelerating into the tournament.
Yeah, yeah. So I watched them. I covered them playing Newburyport like the beginning of January, like right when, you know, the calendar turned. And I mean, Newburyport's obviously very good as well, but at that game it really wasn't all that competitive. But having seen Amesbury a few times now since that last game, yeah, they have definitely improved dramatically since that time. And yeah, like you said, I think, you know, just playing that better competition. They had a couple of, you know, non-league games against, you know, better mm-hmm. opponents. So. They young kids grew up quick.
God, yeah. Hey, you know,
by fire, they sort of had to.
Well, that's what's amazing about the run. And I have to ask you about Marcotte. Are you familiar with the name Marcotte in Bruins history?
I know he's like the grandson of. I should know this better, but enlighten me.
Okay, there you go.
I know he's got someone in his family who's played.
Yeah, it's not a common name. Don Marcotte, in the glory days of the 70s, the Bobby Orr days, Marcotte was on the third line, and he was a supreme penalty killer along with Derek Sanderson. So the name Marcotte is well known of people of my generation for sure. So that's great. That's great to see that name. Great name. All right, let me ask you about Newburyport, because I've talked a lot with Coach Yameen. And that's a team that started out a little hesitatingly, I think, hesitantly, or however you pronounce it. And their strength of schedule, I think, has been incredible. And they've had a terrific run.
Yeah, I mean, every year, obviously, you know, Paul knows exactly what he's doing, and he's a fantastic coach. And they schedule tough every year, and you know, get to the point where you get to this time of the year, and they are extremely battle-tested. You know, talk about playing Franklin and St. John's Prep and all those sort of team. Canton, who, you know, knocked him out of the playoffs last year and ended up winning the thing. So they schedule tough, and they know what they're doing. But it's funny with Newburyport is just like, you know, I don't know what Paul tells you, but to me it's just they don't really have that, like, you know, like a superstar. A couple years ago they had this kid, John Groth, who was like, you know, just a electric sort of goal scorer and top guy. They really don't. I mean, they're just so well balanced. Like they have like three, even four lines that just they all can sort of score, you know, at the same frequency. You know, they really don't have like it's. I don't know. I mean, they're just all so like the from top to bottom. They're just so like so good and well balanced. And then on defense, I'm sure another name you'll probably know, Eiserman, Caden Eiserman, sort of their top. Top guy there on their D line, and they have a junior goalie, Damian Lamb, who's really stepped up for him this year. He has six shutouts, which is quite impressive. So, yeah, like you were saying, you know, at the beginning of the season, you didn't maybe particularly know how it was all going to come together, but it definitely has. I think they've won like 12 of 14 or something.
Yeah, they've been
at
playing
the tournament, so.
playing great, and you know, you mentioned the depth on the team. Do they tend to wear teams down?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're always physical too. I mean, they can come at you, you know, in waves. And they have a couple freshmen too, like Luke McIsaac and Henry Waddle, a pair of freshmen who have scored a lot this year. So it's like, you know, they're set up now. They got seniors who are contributing, and you know, in the future, they're just gonna, you know, churn through them. You know, churn them out up there. So,
hey, how about 250 wins for Coach Yameen? I mean, where does that fit into the the history of hockey in the area. I mean, that's a tremendous record.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be up there. I mean, I really don't know who would have more than that. I think it's 22nd year, so. Mm-hmm. I do some simple math there. You know, that's a lot of wins per year.
Yeah, I was just thinking the Arlington coach, Ed Burns, maybe he had 400 or 500, but good heavens, what a great record. All right, I'm going to let you kind of swing around the rest of the hockey qualifiers for the tournament, and then we'll take a look at basketball.
Yeah, so for hockey, Triton is probably the other one we really need to hit on. I think they're number 7 in D3. And obviously, you know, a team that made the semis last year and brought a lot of talent back from that team. Got a great goalie, Gavin Marenghi, who's a junior. I mean, he's carried them, you know, to the semis last year, and you know, has only gotten better this year. So he's a guy you want, you know, a guy who can get hot and you know, win you a couple games by himself in the tournament. Again, just sort of a deep team. At the forward level, they got, again, 2-3 lines they can throw out there who can all sort of score at the same rate. And then they got a couple really, like, stud defensemen between Jack Lindholm, who's a senior 2-year captain, and Michael Taylor, who's a young guy. I think he's only a sophomore, but he's not afraid to throw his body around. He hits, and he can score, too. So they got a couple of defensemen who can not only shut you down, but can get in on the offense. So... and yeah, you know, like with most of my teams up here, they're well coached with, Ryan Sheehan, doing his thing. So they know how to win in the tournament. I mean, they just did it last year, so I wouldn't be surprised if they made a little run.
Terrific coaches. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Is there anybody else in hockey that we're missing? Anybody else make it?
On the girls side, yeah, I got two. I got Newburyport girls made it. They're 31st in D2, so they're going to have a tough go. I mean, they've been playing a lot better at the end of the season, sort of wrap up their regular season. They got a couple of really good goal scorers with Olivia Wilson and Maddie Norrie. They got a nice top line who can score. But I think it might be Falmouth is the 2 seed, so they're going to have to travel down to try mm-hmm. to pull a big upset there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So let's swing it over to basketball. So start with Newburyport.
Yeah, it worked out. I don't know how. Don't ask me how the math worked, but it worked out incredibly well for Newburyport that they moved up to number 8 in Division 3 because they were like 9 at for the majority of the past couple weeks. When the rankings got updated each time, but they moved up to number 8 in the official, rankings that got released. So, and obviously that's a big, assuming you win your first round game, now they got to be home for the round of 16. And I think that would be, I think the number 9 seed is some team from like Central Mass. So you're talking the difference between, having to travel an hour and a half, 2 hours for a round of 16 game other than, as opposed to being at home.
Right.
But, I mean, Newburyport, I mean, they're very good. They got everything this year. A couple really good bigs with Finn Brennan and Carson Gretz, and who can both shoot threes as well. But then they have a lot of, just talented guards around them between, Cal Atherton. Connor Spinney is a sharpshooter. Zaid Liena is a sophomore, comes off the bench for him. And Sam Craig is just like the super athletic junior, just sort of point guard who's pretty talented. So, I mean, they're deep, they're talented, they run like 8 or 9 at you, and they can score.
Mm-hmm.
I think the big deal, though, I guess with Cal, both boys and girls this year, is that which I'm sure you've seen and experienced having talked to other people, is that the Cal is definitely not rated very well by the MIAA this year, like both on the boys and girls side. So.
Yeah, that happens. It's kind of weird the way that happens from from year to year. Sometimes you don't get any respect for some reason or another.
Yeah, on the boys, I know it's the past couple of years. Like Newburyport has won the Cal and has been ranked quite low. Although they were in D2 the past couple of years, they moved down to D3 this year, which you know, obviously helped them out to get up to number 8. But I know, especially this year, you know, on the girls' side, for me, like Pawtucket was like 19-1 or 20-1 if you count their endowment game, and they're number 9 in D3.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, they're very, you know, one loss, a very good team, and yet they're going to have to, you know, if they win their first round game, they're going to have to go on the road for the round of 16. So it's.
All right.
This is what it is.
Very comprehensive, and I'm not a betting guy, but I wonder who do you give odds on to go deep into the tournament on any side, boys, girls, hockey, basketball? Who do you think is the team that has looked the strongest to you so far this year?
I would have to go with probably Newburyport boys hockey. Mm-hmm. I think the bracket worked out for them pretty well. That might be an easy answer because I think they're the highest seed that I have in any tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be a little bit of a cop-out, but they're playing well right now. You would think, obviously, in theory, they would have you know, a fairly straightforward opening round game. And then, actually, I was looking at the bracket earlier. I think they would line up to play Gloucester in the second round. Gloucester beat them earlier in the year, which was a surprising loss. You know, I know Paul wasn't too happy after that one. So if they do draw Gloucester in that second round, I think Fisherman would have to be sure they're ready for that one.
I understand what you're saying. Kyle, what do we expect this week coming up in the Newburyport Daily News sports section?
Basically coverage every day. I mean, I got a couple prelim hoop games on Tuesday, and hockey starts on Wednesday, so we'll be running around here trying to make it all happen.
All right, and you do. I appreciate it, Kyle. Great job, man. You do a wonderful job up there considering all the stuff you have to do. Keep it coming, and we'll talk to you again. And thanks so much for talking with us today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Rick. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kyle. Be well. Take care, brother. All right.
Yeah, you as well.
Okay, that's Kyle Caudette, who is the sports editor at the Newburyport Daily News. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.